You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:06 now. Nice to have you here on this Tuesday morning, June 3rd. Parker Olson is in Madison Studio A2, and Chad Holmes joins us now from 98.9 WXCO. I only learned the other day what A2 is, and that the studio in Racine, oh, I don't even have it now. This studio in Racine is like N2. Yeah, is where there's one there. What's your letter? What's the Wausau letter for stations? What studio are you from?
That's a project I'll have to go on, because I think we need more people here, because since it's me and Ian across the way, we kind of know where we are, so we don't have labels that we need to do anything. That you guys have the bustling studios.
I don't. See, now, again, he's got A1 in Madison, A2. The one in Racine is N, and I said, "Well, what's the Lake Wissota studio?" And they're like, "You don't get one. I don't get a letter or a designation. I'm an island out here on Lake Wissota."
I tell you, it's funny. Both on Saturday and then yesterday, I had trips. On Saturday, I took a little fun little trip to the Twin Cities area, mm-hmm. And then yesterday at a ball game, and I had to go past the signs for Lake Wissota.
Oh, sure.
And there was this one on one, I think it was on my way back both times. There must be some construction going on. And one of the roads, it says Lake Wissota. And then right under it says closed.
Uh-oh.
My first thought is Kreitlow is making it a closed community. He doesn't want anybody hanging
no,
out
it's backyard. It's those Trump budget cuts. We have to close the lake. We can't have nice things right now. Folks listening for the updated forecast, meteorologist Brittany Merlot is out today. Hopefully you have her back tomorrow, but it's not tough to see what we're going to be facing throughout a big chunk of Wisconsin today as a cold front comes through with some showers, thunderstorms. They might be strong to severe later on. And the other weird thing, Chad, is that you're thinking, oh, the rain's going to come through and we won't have any of that Canadian wildfire smoke. No, that front is actually just ushering in more of it. It's helping it into the state. And so I literally just saw a National Weather Service update that said today, smoky rain. That's a first for me.
Well, apparently at least there's one National Weather Service operator that has full-time meteorologist, Don and Elon.
Now, I did just see a headline someplace that said that
they're hiring some new ones.
They're hiring some folks, and I had the story earlier from the Journal Sentinel about how a popular librarian for the Bad River Public Tribal Library has been reinstated, again, through court order, of course. And so it really does set up what I think a lot of us saw coming early on, is that Trump was going to try to make a bunch of these cuts. Obviously, he can't legally. So courts would say, no, that would be breaking the law. You can't do that. And so he can now go back to his MAGA constituency and say, hey, I tried, but the deep state wouldn't let me. No, the law wouldn't let you. You can do all kinds of things as a president. You just have to follow the law to do it. I don't think that's asking too much.
Well, also, it helps if you have some competency around you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's. I think so much of it has to do with, hey, if you have a game plan to, again, I mean, the idea that you go around trying to look into areas that could perhaps be a little bit more tight. I'm not saying that that's not possible, but you put a bunch of incompetence into these positions, this is what happens. And then all of a sudden you come out with this grandiose, statements and about how much you're going to be saving, and then you don't find it. Then all of a sudden the lies start coming, and it's a vicious circle. And I think number one, the incompetence was a major factor in all this. And number two, again, don't come out and make, well, we're going to find this number. Hey, you're going to find whatever you find. And I think sometimes you put yourself into a corner and it just makes things worse than if you would have said, hey, I'm going to go in there and see what's going on. And hopefully we'll be able to find some significant savings and the like. But when you come in and say, hey, there's all this waste, fraud and abuse, and there's all this area that we're going to find. Well, number one, you're not going to, you know, when you don't find it, it makes you look bad. And number two, where's all the prosecutions for this waste, fraud and abuse? It's funny that you say that.
That's exactly what I said yesterday. And then we posted that, and I was calling out Congressman Derek Van Orden for saying there's waste, fraud, and abuse, and yet, like, okay, show us where it is. And so he went into the Civic Media, you know, social media site. I don't remember if it was Facebook or something else.
Oh, man, that guy just has no time. You know,
nothing but time on his hands, and he put something in there like, kick rocks, you lying sack, or something like that. That's not a response. The response is, you're saying that there is fraud, okay? Waste, fraud, and abuse. Set aside waste because it's in the eye of the beholder. What somebody thinks is waste, somebody else doesn't. But fraud is the big thing. If somebody is actually defrauding us, the taxpayers, and we say, prove it, the congressman's response shouldn't be, kick rocks, you lying sack. It should be, yep, here it is. And the fact of the matter is, here it ain't. And you can't point to, say, one or two relatively small things and say, you see where there's this, there must be 100 others. Not necessarily. Show us. That's not too much to ask, Chad.
Doggone it, with Derek Van Orden, can't we get a little bit of class once in a while? I mean,
No. I was looking at his posts, and language alert here, folks. I'm not going to say bad words, but I'm going to tiptoe up to the line to one particular post. This is the post, the response from a member of Congress, from Derek Van Orden. His response to a particular post, and this is it literally, is F no, kick rocks, you worthless backstabbing jackass. That is an actual post from a member of Congress from the great state of Wisconsin. And that is not atypical of Derek Van Orden's social media presence. Somebody needs to wrestle the password out of his hands.
Well, I mean, frankly, it comes down to, again, at the top of their party, you have a man who does exactly the same thing. It starts right there at the top with the president of the United States, and you go to Derek Van Orden and others. What happened to the old, I guess I'm old enough, I'm sure you're old enough to remember when Republicans would talk about how they were the party of adults, that they were these hippies over on the left. And now they just act like, you know, spoiled children all the time. And I talk about a lot about the power of the battle of ideas. I have no issue if somebody has conservative points of view, whether it's on economics or even social issues. As long as we have the argument in a way where you have a battle of ideas. Nowadays, it's just, you know, with Van Orden and Trump and others, it's about like you said, it was a great example. You pointed out a flaw in what they were saying and doing over the last 4+ months, and instead of responding and saying, "Hey, I have a response that would maybe answer your questions," instead it's an insult.
It's insult. And
where do you go from there? I mean, it drags us into the swamp of these kind of arguments, because as much as we try, sometimes you'll come back and I try not to do that myself, but it's very difficult to have a conversation about important issues. And that's an important issue when that's, how do you respond to that? It's ridiculous.
You can't really.
And it's like you're arguing against yourself, because this guy is just, you know, I could use a term like box of rocks, but that would be into his.
Again, I just want to hear the ideas, and I'm not. All I see out of him are either insults or photo ops. And he's really good at the photo ops, because I'm sorry, TV stations, newspaper station, or newspapers in the 3rd Congressional District, please hear me again. He's a master of the photo op. I saw last week again, Congressman Van Orden tours this, Congressman Van Orden tours that. And the few times that he's ever asked a tough question on these tours, he then belittles the reporter and does not answer the question, to which I would say to the TV stations and others, don't put the story up then. Don't just do the field trip. Oh, the congressman went on a field trip. If there's no substance involved, then all you're doing, you're his press person at that point. Don't be his publicist. That's all I ask of the newspapers and the TV stations in and around the third district.
Unfortunately, again, it's a real quickly, it's a trickle down from what we see nationally as well.
Yes, it is. Yep.
You know, a guy says that's a nasty question. I mean, come on.
Just answer the question then. You mentioned being on the road. You were in Menominee last night for a Wausau West playoff baseball. How did that go? How are things looking for spring sports?
It was fun, and I just, you know, and we talk about these things that get you all riled up and stuff, and it was such a fun experience because it was like different, because I'm in the booth, I'm sitting right to the right of the PA announcer, who happened to be a student at Menominee, who also happened to be, along with her twin brother who was hanging out there, siblings of the pitcher for Menominee. And this pitcher for Menominee had a perfect game going through six innings and a no-hitter with one out to go in the seventh. And, of course, high school games are seven innings.
Oh, my.
And I'm throwing everything at the wall, because there's the old adage where you're not supposed to be talking about the perfect games and the no-hitters. And I'm talking about it all the time, and she's getting a little upset with me because she's saying, "You're trying to jinx my brother." I said, "Darn right. I've been trying to jinx your brother for 5 years here, and it's not working." And then with two outs in the seventh inning, it was 2-0 Menominee. West got back-to-back hits and scored two runs in the inning ends. And I turned to her. I said, I feel really bad now.
You should.
But it was such. But it was really cool to see a young person like that who was. I mean, she was so. I mean, so often you get around these people that kind of bring you down. Mm-hmm. This girl had so much energy and so much passion and positivity, it just rubbed off, I think, on everybody around there. And it's like, and sometimes you think about, and I was thinking about this on the drive home, and we transferring it to somebody like Donald Trump and Derek Van Orden and Ron Johnson, likes, we could have leaders that bring the positive energy to our discussions. We could. Yes. And unfortunately now it's all based. And again, there's going to be times when we have discussions that bring in negative aspects. It's just the way it is, even if you're a positive person. But we start now with the negative. We start there with all these discussions. And it just felt really good to be around this positivity in this environment. And I'm trying to put together in some way to be able to bring some of that to other aspects of life, because I don't know how guys like Van Orden and Johnson and the like can look at themselves in the mirror, where Ron Johnson's, you know, big projects these days is to try to investigate a guy that may have terminal cancer. I don't get that. I don't understand how, as a human being, that's your first thought. I can make political points on a guy who's got terminal cancer. I don't get that. I don't understand that. And I think we need to have a whole different perspective on how we have these battle of ideas, where actually bring the ideas back instead of the political points.
Yeah, but you're dealing with somebody who said, I don't know of any poor person that created a job, said Ron Johnson last week. So, all right,
there goes my positivity.
let's end on a positive note. The Brewers' winning streak is up to 8 games after beating the Reds yesterday, coming from behind. Christian Yelich with another home run. Christian Yelich, he's back, no pun intended, or it's just a matter of time. Come on, and I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just saying these are the things that, you know, we worry about as fans. Like, okay, we're doing great. No injuries. Because the pitching staff is finally, but will it last?
Well, I mean, I think for whatever reason, they just have the secret recipe when it comes to maximizing everything they have, whether it's pitching, whether it is their everyday lineup, whether it's, you know, what Pat Murphy does with them. What Arnold does in the front office, it just feels like they're able to maximize.
They are. Chad Holmes, thank you so much. 98.9 WXCO. We'll talk to you Thursday morning.
Sounds good.
Dan Schaefer still on the way. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
quick reminder that Up North News is part of Courier, a pro-democracy newsroom. You can go to couriernewsroom.com to read news from all of our various state outlets and get links to podcasts, merchandise, videos, other newsletters as well. Mark Jacob, who normally joins us on Fridays, has a newsletter called Stop the Presses. You can get it directly at stopthepresses.news, but you can also get it at couriernewsroom.com. His column this week is called What Do You Call a Blatant Lie? We should call it a Lutnick, named after Trump's commerce secretary who showered us with snake oil recently. So head over to couriernewsroom.com to learn more about that. On the Up North News social media feeds and on our website, this headline, America's clearest beach, it's not Waikiki, it's Wisconsin. When you think of pristine beaches with some of the clearest water on earth, the number one pick in the country is Wisconsin's own Schoolhouse Beach on Washington Island. So learn much more about that. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com or look for the link on our Facebook page as well. I wanted to share an article in this segment in The Bulwark, which is a conservative subscription news service that was started by, I guess, what are they called? Never Trump Republicans, Charlie Sykes, and folks like that. And a column from Jonathan Cohn. The headline is, they are, in fact, coming after Obamacare again. And it reads, 8 years after trying and failing to repeal Obamacare, Donald Trump and Republicans are taking another shot. This time, their plans are less ambitious and their work has garnered less attention. But if successful, the efforts could still have devastating effects. It's buried in the quote-unquote big, beautiful bill that the House sent over to the Senate for consideration. There's been a lot of focus, of course, on all the cuts to Medicaid and more, but the legislation would also take a few hundred billion dollars out of the Affordable Care Act, and up to 4 million people could end up newly uninsured. In much the same way that all of this talk about a changing climate and the Trump administration is rolling back all these environmental rules as if we have somehow forgotten smog and all of the other parts of pollution from 50 years ago. Similarly, it seems like we have a national case of amnesia among many Americans as to the crisis that was facing healthcare before the Affordable Care Act, when it was so easy for people to be denied health insurance coverage. The ACA changed that. It's not a perfect bill, but Republicans would never work with Democrats to try to make it better. Instead, they've tried to scrap it entirely. So returning to the column here from Jonathan Cohn, he says, the big, beautiful bill does things like rewrite the rules for passive enrollment and provisional eligibility and alter the allowable variation for calculating actuarial value. That's just all kinds of jargon for death by a thousand paper cuts. Or death by a thousand literal cuts, cutting people off from their health insurance. Because, well, here's one example. Right now, when you have a very big life event that happens, a divorce, the death of a spouse, other kinds of life-altering events, it allows people who might be newly uninsured to get insurance even if you're outside the normal open enrollment period. When that happens, the marketplace will attempt to verify income, citizenship status, and other things. And if it all checks out, you can continue to get affordable insurance. Essentially, there's a 90-day grace period during these times, but the Republican bill would effectively end the grace period. So anybody whose data didn't match up immediately would have to pay the full premium until they work through all the discrepancies. So imagine, I mean, that day, a spouse dies, or you get a spouse, you get married, and you change your name, or you lose your job. And somehow, Republican politicians believe that day, you need to notify all the right people and all the right government offices, and it'll all be processed same day. Otherwise, with no grace period, you become uninsured, or you no longer have eligibility for premium credits that keep your health insurance affordable. That's just one of the provisions. There's also the shortening of the annual open enrollment period from 2.5 months currently down to 1.5 months. And another provision that would end automatic re-enrollment at the end of the year and require people to reestablish their eligibility for coverage for financial assistance. The column quotes Kristen Link Young, a visiting fellow at the Brookings Institution, who says, "This doesn't happen anywhere else in the healthcare system. Everybody else has automatic re-enrollment for their insurance, and yet here they're adding this mandatory annual process and a bunch of additional paperwork that's going to snare other people." And of course, they know what's going to happen. What happens then is that people throw up their hands and they walk away and they no longer have affordable insurance coverage. And what do the Tom Tiffany's and the Derek Van Ordens and others say about that? Well, we didn't cut their coverage. They chose not to re-enroll. They chose not to adhere to the requirements. It's not our fault that we made the requirements nearly impossible to go along with. It's the same stuff that we said last week about work requirements for Medicaid. And that by, again, tightening those restrictions, making the barriers higher, they're able to say, well, we didn't cut the benefits. These are folks that just couldn't prove that they deserve the benefits. And that's some of the waste, fraud, and abuse that we're rooting out. Like getting rid of the automatic re-enrollment. Do you know how many things we have automatic re-enrollment for? How many newspaper subscriptions and credit card offers and all kinds of things that we don't need anymore? Maybe the Republicans could take a page from the Biden administration and look out for consumers and try to cancel some of those automatic re-enrollments before they go canceling automatic re-enrollment that's going to kick millions of Americans off of their affordable health insurance coverage. Dan Schaefer joins us right after this. You're up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Not that anybody's counting, but the recombobulation area is a now 19-time Milwaukee Press Club award-winning opinion column and online publication founded by longtime Milwaukee journalist Dan Schaefer, who is also the Civic Media political editor and who also now joins us, complete with Callahan Auto Parts t-shirt from Watching Tommy Boy. There you go, representing well. Mr. Schaefer, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Kreitlow. Always wonderful to join you here on the morning show.
Oh, yes, joining here on the morning. I thought you were talking about joining the club, the Derek Van Orden Insult Club. I'm pleased to be a member now.
I did want you to welcome you to this exclusive club that we are both now members of people who Derek Van Orden has told to kick rocks on the internet.
He loves that phrase, kick rocks.
That is a favorite of his. But, you know, when he told me to kick rocks last year when he was disagreeing with some of my columns about why we should stop having ridiculous constitutional amendments on the ballot every 2 seconds. He told me to kick rocks. And you know what I did with that? I had a special sale at the recombobulation area. You could go to the recombobulationarea.com/kickrocks and get 30% off a subscription. And a few dozen people joined up. So
thank you,
Derek Van Orden, for making me some money last year.
See, now that's the way that it's supposed to work. And look, I don't even know that we can do this. I was going to say from a serious journalistic standpoint, from two political reporters talking about this.
Sure.
But it should still be a serious topic that a member of Congress who posts 45 social media posts within a 24-hour period riddled with insults and attempts to dox people, like he tried to dox a UW Stevens Point instructor yesterday. We still should not try to normalize this, no matter who's in the White House.
It is a remarkably unhinged social media presence that Wisconsin's member of Congress from the 3rd District has. You know, it's insults all the time. It's conspiracy theories all the time. And you know what? He is not exactly an accomplished legislator.
No.
At the end of the day, either. He is someone that has not really... He was posting on Twitter the other day, and I took note of this, and he said, "Oh, we have workhorses and we have show ponies." There was an article in the Bulwark from a few weeks ago from Bill Leaders, who wrote talked about how unaccomplished Van Orden is as a legislator. I'll quote here directly. Of the 32 bills and resolutions Van Orden sponsored in the 118th Congress from 2023 to 24, exactly none became law, and just three bills passed the GOP-controlled House before dying in the Senate. And a single Van Orden resolution received agreement in the House. It encourages all Americans to, quote, engage with veterans. That is the one thing that he is able to pass in Congress. So, you know, maybe a little bit less time, a little bit less tweeting. I guess I know I'm one to talk, but maybe a little bit less time tweeting and a little bit more time legislating.
You're not a member of Congress, although I would like to thank Alicia here, a Navy vet, from telling us on YouTube, kick rocks is actually a common phrase used by Navy chiefs. It actually goes kick rocks in flip-flops, cool breeze. Now you know.
Now I know.
Now I know where he gets it from. So as we talk about some of the stories that you're following, and we're going to start in your corner of the state. Oh, wait a minute. I have to bring up Tony's comment quick. Wait, he hasn't finished the farm bill? No. No, Derek Van Orden has not finished the farm bill. There is no farm bill at this point. Yeah,
he's too busy lying about Medicaid.
Yes. So let's get to stories there. And today is allegedly the deadline for a Milwaukee area mom and teacher's aide who has a law-abiding record to self-deport. And I'm not quite sure how this woman came to the attention of Immigration and Customs Enforcement, but it sure does seem to be another case of, you know, we in the Trump administration are going to send away anybody we like, even if they have twin 9-year-old daughters who are U.S. citizens, even though we said we were just going after the criminals and terrorists. This case doesn't help their case at all.
No, this is a frustrating story. This has gotten a bit of attention here in the Milwaukee area where you have this teacher's aide, and apologies if I butcher the pronunciation. Yesenia Ruano, Milwaukee's teacher's aide, who her case has kind of become this public thing around here with a number of immigration rights advocates, hoping and taking efforts and action to try and get her to be able to stay in the country. But it turns out such is not going to be the case, and she is going to have to be deported to her home country of El Salvador. There was, I think, a kind of some legal issues with that this spring, where for a minute there, she had some legal representation. It looked like it was going to be able to bank her stay. And now that is not the case. And it is clear that, you know, just this, as so many other examples of what, you know, Donald Trump and Stephen Miller and the rest of the Trump administration here, what their goals are with this mass deportation effort is not a crime fighting public safety type of initiative. It's one that is, you know, go back to the refrain from Trump's first term, the cruelty is the point.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing here with this case. It sure seems like.
And I would put even stronger language on it that it is race-based, a race-based policy that they're engaged in by and large, and that it doesn't matter that she has been a pillar of the community, has lived here for 14 years, has a family, you know, daughters who are American citizens, that she left El Salvador as a survivor of domestic abuse, human trafficking, had a brother who was killed in gang violence and feared for her own safety in coming to this country. Now, in all of that, there's nothing there that indicates, well, she's a terrorist in waiting, you know. And yet, to hear her plight, the comments on social media have been downright ghoulish. People going, well, she's illegal. You know, what part of illegal don't you understand? It's like, again, this was supposed to be about getting the undocumented immigrants who are causing trouble, who may be gang members who have joined gangs here, things like that. If you supported somebody like that, but now you're cheering when a mother is being deported at this point, somebody who would like to finish the process of becoming a citizen, it is a very sad commentary on where we are for the humanity of this country, my own personal opinion.
Yeah, and this is somebody who's had a work visa. She works at a bilingual public elementary school in Milwaukee. These are the type of people that we want to have a path to citizenship.
Right.
And, you know, I had a couple immigration attorneys on a podcast at the Recombobulation Area a couple months ago who were telling me just about how difficult it is to just do do things legally, and that has forced so many people to into this bottleneck where they're applying for asylum. You know, if she's receiving death threats in her home country, you know, a lot of these post-World War II, you know, never again type of measures that we've taken on the world stage to be welcoming to refugees and fleeing circumstances where they're fearing for their own, where people are fearing for their own lives. That's what that policy is there for. And you think you would think that, you know, could expedite the process for these people, but such is not the case. And it's like what you said. It is this is not about public safety. This is not about anything like that. There are racial tones to this, not undertones, overtones, lots of tones.
Yes.
A remarkably it's a sad story.
Again, to get to your point about fixing this immigration process and streamlining the process, this country has perhaps rarely in its history needed legal immigration encouraged more than now, with, you know, the baby boomers stepping off the stage, with a labor shortage that is already pronounced. This is a country that, if we want our economy to thrive, had better be more welcoming than ever to immigrants. And yet there was a deal on the table, a bipartisan deal on the table. And Donald Trump by himself said, screw that, scuttle that. We want to deport whatever people that we want. And that's how we end up with stories like this one out of Milwaukee. But we also end up with a story, a very unusual one, that deals with somebody who apparently, if I'm reading this correctly, was the victim of a crime. And yet the person that was victimizing him set things up in such a way, allegedly, that it made it look like he was threatening President Trump's life. And last I can see here, this gentleman, Ramon Morales Reyes, is still sitting in the Dodge County Jail. This is insane.
It's a wild story. And I think it is, you know, the fact that the Department of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, put this out as a press release from the main, you know, Department of Homeland Security press room and all of that, you know, saying that there is this suspect believed to be responsible for writing a letter threatening to shoot President Trump, and it was all a hoax. Well, you know what? I can't help but think that that paperwork errors like this are being used to deport people all over the country.
Oh, of course.
If Department of Homeland Security is using paperwork errors and things like that to do that, and yet they are making very obvious ones, it seems, in this case, by, you know, amplifying it to the national stage, and less than a week later finding out that this was entirely a hoax, that there was this you know, other man in prison setting up this person, and it's seemingly a really obvious way that they couldn't poke holes in this. And it's just, I think it to me, the story here is that Department of Homeland Security are deporting people for the same types of problems that they themselves are committing. With
correct.
Paperwork errors.
And doing so, again, despite paperwork errors, using masked secret police, using detention facilities that are off limits even to members of Congress. Congressman Mark Pocan, Congresswoman Gwen Moore tried to visit inmates at this Dodge County facility and were told that they could not. And when they called a phone number that's associated with it for either ICE or another agency, that phone had been disconnected. And so there was no way for anybody to have oversight and make sure essentially that innocent people aren't behind bars in this country. And that's where we are at this point. Again, it's got all of the elements of fascism, with the secret police, wearing masks, people in detention that you can't reach, trumped up charges, deporting people out of the country. I don't know what else people need to know to see what kind of country we've become. Oh, wait, I do have one more, and it deals with trains, of all things. And the fact that there's a story out there that about how there are companies that would rather work with pretty much any other country other than ours when it comes to high-speed rail, because we are so dysfunctional. This was a story I saw on the Civic Media website.
Yeah, It is. It really goes to show how broken our politics is when you see these international companies that would, you know, like to build something and make some money in the United States and build a rail service here, and finding that not only was it so difficult to do it here, it was actually easier to build a rail service in Northern Africa in Morocco, I believe the country was.
It was.
Built a rail service in Morocco. So they found that Northern Africa to be less politically dysfunctional than the United States of America in the Trump term. It's wild.
This was from SNCF, which is the French National Railroad, a bullet train operator, and they pulled out of projects here in the States. And again, the quote in the news story is, they told the state they were leaving for North Africa, which was less politically dysfunctional. And that's, I mean, we use the term third world a lot, perhaps sometimes not as politically correct as we should, but in terms of undeveloped and undemocratic with a small D nation, that is exactly the kind of thing that we're dealing with here, as Dan Schaefer tells us about from the recombobulation area. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
What a great Wednesday lineup we have for you every Wednesday, including Earl Ingram tomorrow. Melissa Baldoff will be here with our climate check. Melissa Kay from WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Todd Alba stops by. James Kelly from the Civic Media Newsroom here in the Chippewa Valley. Another Sconny Summer Text to Win keyword, our homeroom segment on public education in Wisconsin. And that's all just for starters tomorrow morning here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on the Civic Media Radio Network. Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area joins us again. And we talked earlier about Derek Van Orden being an internet troll. Thank goodness you can remind us about the more positive side of trolls in Wisconsin. The old school definition of trolls, if you will. There's a photo circulating of you with a rather large troll. What is that?
That's right. So I went to visit a troll last night. and that doesn't mean paying a visit to Derek Van Orden or paying a visit to anybody else in my Twitter mentions. But it means that in Wauwatosa, of all places, there is a large troll sculpture that was just unveiled about a week or two ago at Firefly Grove Park in kind of the west side of Wauwatosa. And it is this, it is actually very, very cool to see in person. So it's this troll made by a Danish artist named Thomas Dambo, who uses recycled materials to make these trolls. And he has made 156 trolls all over the world, including 40. In the United States. He's trying to do one in all 50 states, I believe. And it just so happens that the one he built in the state of Wisconsin is right in my neck of the woods, right next door, one city over in Wauwatosa. So I went to go check it out with the family last night, took a picture of a large troll and this sculpture from an artist.
How tall is this troll? It looks massive.
It is huge. It's like 40 feet tall. It's pretty wild.
Seriously, is amazing. And all with recycled material, you say?
All with recycled material. And he's holding these lampposts.
Yeah.
Like they're a bouquet of flowers. And then throughout the park, there are these kind of like, you know, it's almost like a Disney-fied type of thing where it's just like it looks like the troll ripped the lampposts off of like the edge of the sidewalk or whatever. So there are these like snarled bottom parts of lampposts that, you know, coincide with the ones that he's holding. It's very creative and it's very cool. And I would encourage people to take some time to go see it in Wauwatosa this summer. It's something else. You're not going to see anything else like it. I've seen the pictures and all that going around, but going and seeing in person and just like standing there and I'm about, you know, up to this troll's knee or whatever.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild.
It is. Wow. That's an impressive picture here. Also on your social media feed, you point out that you sat down with the soon to be former chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Ben Wickler, talking about Elon Musk, the spring election, being the chair and a lot more. What would folks get out of that? Were they to click and watch you and Chairman Ben Wickler?
Yeah, that was we had a great interview a couple weeks ago, and you know, I interviewed him the day after he had made an endorsement in the West Ems chair race. Like I know regular listeners of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow have gotten to hear from all of those candidates running for West Ems chair, and Ben Wickler endorsed Devin Remiker. He initially said he was going to stay neutral in the race, and he decided against it. So we talked a little bit about that over the course of the conversation, talked a little bit about, you know, his run for DNC chair. So it was a really good big picture conversation on so much that has happened and so much that he has been involved with over the past few months, and on a national scale, on a local scale, and all of that, everything in between, and a lot of Elon talk too.
How would you evaluate his answer to the question about endorsing Devin Remiker? Obviously, the William Garcia and Joe Zepecki were, I would say, caught off guard by that when Wickler said he was not going to endorse. Now, Joe Zepecki has since said he sees that endorsement as a sign of his, Joe Zepecki's, strength, that Ben Wickler felt the need to get involved. What was your own impression of how Ben Wickler addressed that issue?
Yeah, he really just said that he changed his mind, and he kind of wanted to just be on the record. And he's like, it's an election. We all have our say. And this is what I wanted to say. So he didn't want to let the moment pass without saying what he really thought about, you know, the next steps for the party. But I think you're right. I think it's not just Mr. Zepecki and Mr. Garcia who were a little bit irked by that surprise endorsement from Ben Wickler. I've heard from a number of folks that were, you know, even people who are very big fans of Ben Wickler, supporters of his, allies of his, they weren't exactly thrilled by Wickler putting his thumb on the scale.
No,
and this one.
And again, I cast no aspersions on any of these. All three are great candidates, so I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way. But I know from experience, perhaps the biggest cuss word in internal Democratic Party business is the A word, anointed. And if anybody comes off as being the anointed one for any position, because I was tagged with that for running, you know, after Dave Obey endorsed me, and I've seen it in so many other races, that, you know, it helps you in some ways, it hurts you in some ways with some people as well. So it's far from a slam dunk. Oh, you see what I did there? Slam dunk. We're going to move to basketball here.
Radio professional here.
No, he's old that way. We were talking to Christina Laurie earlier about how some Wisconsin athletes play for some other teams, not within our borders, and we try to follow them. But for some folks, that's a little tougher with Tyrese Haliburton and the Indiana Pacers, because here's this Oshkosh kid, done good, but he's also kind of put on the black cowboy hat. He's kind of being the bad boy this time around.
Yeah, he knocked the Bucks out 2 years in a row, so we don't love that. And he's also just kind of he's been a little bit of an irritating personality at times in the NBA playoffs. He's a big talker. He has a lot to say. But I, you know, it's pretty wild that a guy from Oshkosh, Wisconsin, home to my alma mater of UW Oshkosh, has led his team to the NBA finals. Like, we've had a lot of great players in the NBA come from Wisconsin. Nick Van Exel, Caron Butler, Latrell Sprewell, go through the list. But I think Tyrese Haliburton might end up on the top of that list in like the all-time Wisconsin native NBA players, which is pretty wild. And I think it's gonna take a bit for some folks to stomach, I think, too.
And Tony, a little irritating. That's an understatement. We will leave it at there. And I won't ask you the Brewers' magic number, but we're getting closer to when we have to ask about that. Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area, thank you so much. Thanks to all of you for being with us as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll see you at 6 a.m. tomorrow here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.